There's a delay on the clicker. How should we pray for one another as we stand this evening on the cusp of 2018? There are so many challenges and uncertainties that await us in the year before us. We could look around our church family. We could think of our own lives, those of our friends, those dear to us, those we work with. There are those who struggle with ongoing sickness, those who are facing surgery, those still recovering from surgery. Some mourning the loss of a loved one still, some facing death themselves. Others are anxious over decisions they have to make, decisions perhaps about a relationship, a job, a home. Others are lonely. We live in an uncertain world. We have many issues in our own country. Then there's Brexit that seems to be blamed for everything. Internationally, we live in a world where there are so many uncertainties and tensions and hotspots. Then there's the constant temptation to sin. And these are just the things we know about. Next year is going to be filled with so many things that we just aren't even aware of, that God in his mercy is hiding from our sight at the moment. How should we pray for one another in 2018? What is it that we desire? What do we want God to do for us and in the lives of those around us? The better question is, what does God want me to pray for you, say? Or what does God want us to pray for one another in 2018? That's a better question, isn't it? Because it takes the emphasis on me and what I want and places it on what God wants for us. But how do I know the answer to that question? What does God want me to pray for you? What does God want for you? Can I know the answer to that question? Well, I'd want to suggest that we can. And the answer comes in the reading that we're about to have. And Audrey's going to come and read for us from Numbers chapter 6.
This evening's reading can be found on page 141 of the Pew Bibles and is taken from Numbers chapter 6. Starting to read at verse 22 to verse 27. That's on page 141. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
God, as we consider how we might be praying for one another in the new year, and even this night, please would you help us to understand these few verses from your word, that we might be praying the prayers of Scripture back to you as you have given them to us. And in so doing, we might bless one another. Amen.
Amen.
So, how should we pray for one another in 2018? Well, I say the verses that we've just read, and hopefully you've still got open in front of you, give us the answer, because these verses tell us what God wants for us. If you look at verses 22 and 23, we see God take the initiative. Moses hasn't gone to God and say, look, the priest is saying to me, look, I know I've got to pray for the people, what do I say? No. The Lord said to Moses, God takes the initiative. He instructs Moses in how he is to tell the priests how they are to pray for the people. And when you pray a prayer of blessing for the people, O priest. This is what you are to say. Because this is God saying, this is what I want you to say to the people, or this is what I want you to pray for the people, because this is what I want to do for my people. Here is what God wants for his people. God knows what his people need. And just so we sort of grasp how deeply God understands the situation his people are in, let's just remember where we are in the book of Numbers. We all know the history of Numbers, don't we? No. Okay. Exodus. Are we okay with Exodus? Yeah. God's people are in Egypt. They've been there for over 400 years as slaves. And God has raised up Moses. And he has led God's people out of Egypt. So we've had the Passover, we've had the Red Sea, we've had the wandering through the wilderness down to Mount Sinai. And in Exodus chapter 19, God's people camp at Mount Sinai and they are given the law. And in Exodus 20, the first part of the law is the Ten Commandments. That's the bit we know. And then the rest of the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus that follows, and then the beginning of the book of Numbers all take place at Mount Sinai. So Numbers chapter 11, that's where God's people start to move off. We're still at Sinai. We're at the end of the giving of the law. And God's people are about to begin their journey from Mount Sinai. So we've come from Egypt all the way down into the bottom of the Sinai Peninsula. And they're about to go all the way back up into Israel. A long desert journey lies before them. Into the unknown. Into the desert. There's going to be no water. There's not going to be much food. There's going to be nasty creatures. There's going to be their enemies out there. Obstacles, challenges, temptations. God's people need to know, well, they need to know that God is with them, that God is actually going to bless them on this journey. And perhaps when they're there, they're going to be wanting to pray. And they're going to ask the priest what to pray. And God knows this. So he anticipates. And he says, this is how the priests are to pray for the people. This is what the people need. And Israel embarking on their journey into the wilderness is not that different to us embarking into setting off into 2018, is it? We're heading off into the unknown. Well, we think we know what's coming. But we don't. There are going to be obstacles. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be temptations in our path. And we're going to be crying out to God for help. Well, God's already told us what we need in these verses. Our needs are no different to the needs of the people of Israel. Can we pray this prayer of blessing for one another? Yes. We may not be priests in the Old Testament sense of the word, but we are part of the priesthood of all believers. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, if you want to sort of check that out later if you're taking notes. We can pray these verses, these prayers for one another. And as we pray these verses, we're praying specifically that we would each know three things that will sustain us in our journey through 2018. That will sustain us as we face those obstacles, those challenges, those temptations. And they're this: God's protection from evil, God's pardon from sin, and God's peace. And we'll see how they unfold. We are praying firstly that we might know God's protection from evil. That's in verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. Just to sort of help us navigate these verses. There are three verses, three requests, but each verse comes in two halves. The Lord bless you and keep you. There's two clauses. And the second expands the first. So the Lord bless you, how? By keeping you. And you have the same thing again in verse 25 and in verse 26. Same structure in each. Two clauses. The second emphasizes, helps us understand what the first bit means. Each verse emphasizes that God is the giver. The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord turn his face towards you. But look how the word Lord is spelt in your Bibles. It's all in capital letters. And that tells us that this is Yahweh, the covenant promise-keeping name of God. The God who keeps his promises. That's who's being addressed here. He's the one who's going to give. God has made a promise. I will bless you. I will keep you. And then in the verses, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And again in verse 26, the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In verses 22 and 23, God is telling Aaron and the sons how they are to pray for the people, the whole nation, but the you in verses 24, 25 and 26, we lose it in the English, is in the singular. It's addressing individual people. God wants to bless the people, the community or the church today. But he does so by blessing individuals. Isn't that a wonderful truth just in itself? That we're not a number. God knows each of us by name. We're not lost in the crowd Sunday by Sunday. God knows each and every one of us. He wants to bless us as individuals. So let's go back to verse 24. The Lord bless you. God wants to bless us. What does it mean to bless? I've read so many definitions of it. Here's the simplest one. A blessing is a gift from God for our well-being. That's as simple as I can make it. A blessing of God is a gift from God for our well-being. That gift could be spiritual, it could be physical, it could be emotional. For our well-being, it could be spiritual, physical, emotional, and so on. God, in other words, gives us what we need. That's what we've already said, but that's what a blessing is. And the first thing the people needed as they embarked on their journey, and that we need, is to know that God protects us. The Lord bless you and keep you. See, God wants his people then and today to know that he is their powerful deliverer and protector. The desert journey that we're about to embark upon could not be avoided, with its obstacles, with its hazards, with its temptations. The people of Israel were going to face those hazards. 2018 cannot be avoided. We are going to face trials and temptations. But God will keep us. If we want to understand how God keeps us, you could please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 121. It is one of Sarah's and my favourite psalms. We've had one song hymn from our wedding, and we had this read at our wedding, actually. But Psalm 121 has the word keep 6 times in it. We lose it in the English. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Again, notice how it's spelt. The maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. And the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. God watches over, he keeps his people. You know I love films, and so many of these commando movies have... I love these war movies where commanders are behind enemy lines and they're sort of trying to evade capture or being found. And it comes to night time, they need to sleep, so they've made camp somewhere. And so kind of think Where Eagles Dare, that kind of movie. Greatest war film ever, I think. And, you know, Richard Burton says to Clint Eastwood, "Lieutenant, get some sleep. I'll take the first watch. I'll keep an eye out to make sure that we're not attacked." But then they'll have to swap over, so Richard Burton can sleep and Clint Eastwood can keep watch. But the Lord watches over us 24/7. Why? He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He never takes his eyes off us. He is always there watching over us. I got that far in my preparation and I thought, well, hang on a minute. We're not always kept safe, are we? We do go through accidents. And God's people do suffer and are tortured and imprisoned for their faith. And some are martyred. How is that God protecting us and keeping us? It gets tricky, doesn't it? We are protected from the attacks of the evil one. Doesn't mean we're delivered from them. But God will keep his people. We will not be separated from God. He will keep us in his care. And that care may be in this world, but that care will also be in the next. And God will just take us from one realm into the next in his care. Once we're in his care, we cannot be taken out from it. Death cannot separate that, separate us from God's care. So whatever happens in 2018, we pray for one another that we might know God's protection from evil, from the evil one. He wants to take us away from God. He wants to ruin our understanding of salvation. Not possible. God will keep us in his care. How should we pray for one another in 2018? Well, we pray that we might know God's pardon from sin. So we're back in Numbers chapter 6. And we kind of need to sort of look at the beginning of verse 25 and 26 together, because they essentially say the same thing. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face towards you. Slightly different, but they both convey the same message. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Lord turn his face towards you. Light, bright faces are happy faces, aren't they? They're smiling faces. They're not angry, frowning, sad faces. No. A face that shines is a happy face, is generally a face that is smiling. The Lord make his face shine upon you. In other words, God wants to smile. God is smiling to us, over us. He wants us to know that. God wants us to know that he smiles when he thinks of us. Does that fill you with joy? If you were a child performing in front of your parents, say in a nativity play, and you looked in their direction, you wouldn't want them to see them go. You want to see them smiling. And they see you smiling and they go, yeah, I'm doing a great job, and they keep going. You'd understand it if you're an athlete and you're competing and you're doing well. You look across and you see your trainer or your coach smiling because you're doing it right. God smiles over us because we're his children. Because he loves us. And what parent doesn't smile when gazing upon their baby in their arms or their child? Oh, God smiles. He wants us to know that. He wants us to know that he loves us and he cares for us. He's smiling over us. The Lord make his face shine upon you, specifically in verse 25, and be gracious to you. This is where the cash value, if you like, of God smiling over us comes into play. Remember, the second half of the verse explains the first. God loves us. He's smiling over us. He wants to show us his love for us by being gracious to us. By giving us what we don't deserve. How do we expand that? Well, let's go to another psalm. Again, a favorite psalm of many. Psalm 103. Some of you will be ahead of me in your thinking. Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. What a fantastic truth about God, that he does not treat us as our sins deserve. He is gracious and compassionate. He is merciful. Are you praying that way for your friends, for the people in church this evening, and those who are not here? Because they're going to need to know this truth, aren't they? Just as you are going to need to know that truth, just as I need to know this truth, because I know that in 2018, if today is anything to go by, I'm going to mess up in 2018. And I need to know God's pardon from sin. It's true for me today. It was true of the Israelites back in Numbers. Numbers is a narrative book. It's an account of the journey. You can read Numbers and you'll encounter some stories that you're with which you're familiar. And you will realize that God's people messed up very quickly. And God did not treat them straight away as their sins deserved. He made his face to shine upon them and he was gracious to them. How should we pray for one another in 2018? Pray that we might know God's peace. In verse 26. We might know God's peace. Again, an expression of God's love for us. The word peace is shalom in Hebrew. It's one of those words that has such a wide range of meanings. It's hard to sort of pin it down. In the Old Testament, shalom can refer to prosperity. It can refer to longevity of life. It can refer to just having a happy family, being blessed with children. It can refer to security and safety. It can refer to health. It can simply refer to having friends and having peace within, in knowing these things are yours. God loves us. He wants us to have these things. But again, you get to this stage and you're thinking, you think, well, I don't have all these things. Maybe that's why we pray for them. But then we go, I don't have them. Or the people I'm praying for don't have them. Maybe we need to reevaluate our lives. Maybe we actually have them but don't realize we have them because we've set our threshold too high. We're expecting too much. No psalm this time to help us understand it. Instead, Paul's letter to the Philippians. So turn on, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Again, some familiar verses for us. I've deliberately kept them familiar. I think we all know Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And verse 7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're familiar with those verses because we often use them in our benedictions at the end of the service. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray that we might know the peace of God within us. Oh, we know verse 7. What about verse 9? It ends, and may the God of peace will be with you. We happily pray for the peace of God to be with us. But here's the wonderful truth. The God of peace is with us. See the subtle difference? We often pray for the peace of God, but actually we need to pray that the God of peace will be with us. We already know that he is. And with God, and if God is with us, he transforms any situation. My favorite mountain in this country, I think, is Helvellyn in the Lake District. It is a fantastic climb. Some of you will know it. I'm sure Striding Edge is just one of the great places to be, especially right across the top, not the little path down the side, the top. I love it. But the last time I was there, I was on my own and I was as miserable as sin. I thought, I'm on my own. This is depressing. You see, you can be in the best place possible on your own and be miserable. You can be in a not so nice place with someone who is very dear to you and it can be the best place in the world. The person you're with transforms your situation. And so Paul goes on in Philippians in verse 11. He says, verse 12, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. No matter what situation I'm in, I've got God with me. The God of peace is with me. He is transforming my situation. No matter how miserable it might be, he's transforming it into something wonderful. I actually have God's peace within me. How do we pray for one another in 2018? We pray that we might know God's protection from evil, God's pardon from sin, and God's peace. We haven't quite finished. Back to Numbers. This is verse 27. We are drawing to a close. And so, says God, they will put my name on the Israelites. They will put my name on the Israelites. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? I have this idea of a label on school clothing. We don't do it as adults, do we, anymore? But children at school have their name sewn into their uniform or their sports kit so they know it's theirs. That's mine. If you like Toy Story, Woody has the name Andy on the sole of his shoe because he belongs to Andy. He's the little boy who owns all the toys. Someone's name on you gives you a sense of identity, of belonging, of being owned, of being special. You're mine. God's name is on his people. We're God's. And that's why God blesses us. And notice how it ends. I will bless them. It's an emphatic end to this short section. It's a definitive from God. I will do this. But here's the intriguing thing. There are no terms or conditions attached to this. You see, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, it's pretty much entitled Blessings for Obedience, Curses for Disobedience. Or you could turn to Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. So meditate on the word of the Lord and you will be blessed. It's conditional. But there are no conditions here. God is simply saying, I will bless you. It's great news, isn't it? But again, there's something missing. Because there is a condition. It's just not here. There has to be a condition because of this question. How can, for example, God make his face shine upon me and be gracious to me when I am a sinner? How can God smile over me in the face of my defiance and disobedience? Parents, know what that's like, don't you? Your child is willfully disobedient. Are you smiling? I've got at least one shake of the head. You know that pain. For those of us who aren't parents, we can perhaps remember being that defiant, rebellious child. And we remember the sadness in our parents' eyes. Sadness at the wrong we have done, and sadness at the fact that they had to punish us for what we had done wrong. How can God bless us and be gracious to us and be merciful to us? How can God not treat us as our sins deserve? How can God get our sin and throw it away as far as the east is from the west? Just like that. Well, the answer was in the third hymn we sang this evening. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. And then later in the verse it says, the Father turned, I'll read it all. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. You see, God can look on us and smile because he turned his face away from his Son on the cross. God will protect us and keep us safe because the Lord Jesus, well, he was left to die. God did not protect him. God did not spare his own or save his only son. He let him die. God can pardon us for our sin because the Lord Jesus was punished for our sin. And God gives us peace because Jesus endured hell, unimaginable pain and anguish on the cross. How should we be praying for one another in 2018? We should pray for these things, that we might know God's protection from evil, God's pardon from sin, and from God's peace. And we should be praying that each one of us grows in our knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. To know that all these blessings are possible because of Jesus. That is what is going to sustain us in 2018 on our journey. There are trials coming. There are challenges coming. There are temptations coming. And we don't even know what they are. And they're going to strain us and tax us and test us. And they're going to weigh us down. And they're going to weigh down our friends. And so we pray for one another, that we might know that God is the one who blesses us. God is the one who is constantly watching over us. He is the God who will forgive us when we fail. And he will give us peace. Because he's with us, transforming every situation we are in. We're praying that we might know God more. So, in 2018, let's pray for one another, that we might know God more. Let's do that now. Oh God, please, would you deepen our understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. Please, would you give us eyes to see the needs of our Christian brothers and sisters. Please, would you give us a commitment and a conviction to pray for them regularly. As we long covet their prayers for us. And may we all grow in the knowledge and understanding of your love for us. Of your presence with us always. A presence that will transform every situation that we find ourselves in. So we pray for your blessing on us this night and in the year to come. Amen.